Right, Luke 15. If you have your Bibles this morning, appreciate that singing this morning. Sarah's has wanted to kill me a couple of times for saying, "Hey, you want to sing?" Literally last minute. She has wanted to do that a few times. Actually, the last two Wednesday nights, like 30 minutes ahead of the service. "Hey, you want to sing?" Luke 15. It is good to have Living Proof back with us. It's a blessing to have them. Been traveling all over. Lord's been using them, so thankful for that, but good to have them back. Luke 15, verses 11 through 24. We're looking this morning at the prodigal son. "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house on this Lord's Day. Thank you, Lord, for all those able to come out today. Ask you to be with those unable to be here, those watching, those who will watch later. I just ask you, Lord, just to meet with all of us. And I just ask you to give me the words that you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, this morning, we're looking at the prodigal son. This story is deeply personal to me. I know perhaps some of you, like me, after salvation, perhaps lived the life, perhaps, of the prodigal. Now, what you did in the far country may differ than what some people did in the far country, but nonetheless, you took your trip to that far country. And some of us have been there, and we're going to look at that some this morning. But first off, we're looking at the phrase, "into a far country." Now, this was at the heart of the prodigal's problem. Far country is a characteristic of rebellion from young to old. A far country is not only a physical location, it is a spiritual location. And I say today, you will find yourself in a far country spiritually before you ever find yourself in a far country physically. And I learned this firsthand as I walked away from God in my heart before I walked away from God for all to see. And so many times I've dealt with parents as I've ministered to those with addictions and those who have wayward children. And I've had preachers ask me and missionaries ask me about my journey and being a prodigal and coming back home and being right with the Lord once again. And they oftentimes, they've somewhat been deceived into thinking that it was somewhat overnight that their child just went in this direction. But it's not overnight. It's not. It's a process. It's a process that the heart is on before the feet ever show what the heart has been dealing with. I learned about myself. I learned what is done in secret will soon be revealed. I hope you realize today that how you act, and this came up some in Sunday school this morning, how you act when no one is looking tells you a lot about who you're living for and where you'll end up. And also what you do by yourself as a teenager tells you a lot about what you're going to do times 10 in that far country when you're by yourself. And eventually you will become what you do. That's why a lot of people today, and not just young people, want to be by themselves. They want to be away from authority. They want to be away from accountability. They want to be away from the home. Sometimes I just want to encourage kids, you know what, just enjoy home while you're there. Yeah, getting out of the home and things like that and becoming mature and taking on responsibility. Yes, those things are great in and of itself, but enjoy being at home. Some of my best days, even though I came from a broken home and my dad's situation and things, some of my best days was just not having to worry about anything. Even though when you would look at my situation in my home life, people would think I had a lot to worry about. And yeah, I had some pretty big things to worry about, some pretty big things to think about. But you know what? There was a whole lot of other things that I did not have to think about because I was a child. I was just reading something here recently about what it does to a child's brain when they have to mature at a young age. And they actually carry it long into adulthood from have the negative effects from having to mature at a young age, well before their time. It takes a toll on them. See, the prodigal's father also must have had some type of standard for the prodigal to know. For him to know that he would have to leave home in order to get what he wanted. See, many kids, if they can be a prodigal at home, they will. They'll never leave. If they can skip church, live however, talk however, watch whatever, they'll do it all right under your nose. The father had some type of standard, and some type of standard had the son looking elsewhere. I'm inclined to think that there wasn't enough far country in that home to please that prodigal. We see something else from the prodigal. The prodigal had a request. In Luke 15, in verse 11, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. So you see, a far country in the sin of rebellion, it came with a cost. And the prodigal recognized that. Having his eyes on a far country preceded this request. Now, once you decide where you want to go, you start figuring out what you need to get there. I've said this many a time. Scripture portrays a nightlife. There was drinking. There was partying. There was strange women had their corners. The woman at the well was an adulteress and strange woman. Rahab was a harlot before Jesus saved her. There was concubines. There was mistresses. And the thoughts of those pre-flood were evil continually. Sodom and Gomorrah was sin-filled to the brim with wickedness, and God destroyed it. Sodom and Gomorrah was known for sodomy. It was known for homosexuality. We could reference the sins of the Egyptians and the sins of the Babylonians in Habakkuk. You have the passage of Scripture where Paul says, in such were some of you, and then goes into what some of those in the Corinthian church were saved from. They were abusers of themselves, some of them with mankind. Some of them were effeminate, as men dressing like women and vice versa. But God saved them and God changed them. We know in the Old Testament amongst the heathens, they'd cut their babies in half. So the Bible times had its wickedness. The Bible gives us in great detail that society even then was wicked. Maybe this young man caught a glimpse of what all was out in the world. You know, even back then, the far country had a way to work its way back to what to them was a far country. Somehow or another, he heard about what was going on out there. And you know what kids do too? A lot of the kids that I grew up with, went to school with, they were trying to get away from the little city as big as they could, as quick as they could, to get to the big city. All we heard was Baton Rouge and New Orleans. In Central Louisiana, they wanted to get to Baton Rouge or New Orleans because that's where the party was. That's where they wanted to go. You know, the prodigal's older brother says this at the end of the chapter, that the prodigal spent all that he had on harlots. Maybe the prodigal heard what the world had to offer, but he must not have heard or didn't listen to what the world would take from you as a result. The prodigal knew he needed money to go and do what he wanted to do, to live how he wanted to live. So a plan preceded his request to his father. He had plans to go into that far country. The far country was in his heart long before he left his father's house. His request just gave glimpse to what was already in his heart. But notice also this morning that the change of heart preceded and led to a change of standards, a change of appearance, and a change in morality. If I could challenge young people here in the church as a whole, it would be this: to guard your heart with all diligence. When your heart has a change for the good or for the worse, your life will soon follow the decision that your heart has made. Notice also this father fulfilled the request of his son. He gave him what he asked for and he let him go. We see the free will of man here on display. This young man was old enough to make his own life's choices. And I tell you today, if you're in a position of authority as a parent or a spiritual leader, sometimes you have to just let those go that wish to go. You can't stop them anyway. And the quicker you let them go, the quicker they hit bottom, the quicker they learn the hard way, and the quicker they'll be back. The father fulfilled the request. Essentially, you want to go? Okay, go. In verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So he gathered what he had all together, all his eggs in one basket, so to speak, which is never good. Be like drawing all of your money out of the bank and taking all that you have and taking off. It's dangerous. Especially in that time, you didn't have doors to protect you. Automobiles, cars, trucks, you didn't have it to protect you. You was out walking. Some places, you don't even want to walk with $5 in your pocket. Later on, everything that you got. And in Bible times, you go on a journey. And he went on a journey into a far country. It's amazing he even got to the far country with it. But the prodigal isn't thinking logically. He just has a far country to get to. What's on the prodigal's mind? Far country. Nothing else but a far country. Not those that them going to a far country will hurt. Not those who raised them better. Not thinking about that. Not the church that steered them right. Not the pastor that preached week in and week out. Not their youth pastor. One thing is in mind, and it's far country. And the prodigal has to get there as quickly as they can. And this prodigal here, he heads out. He's taking this trip, probably like a fool, thinking, I'm free now. Undoubtedly, the father's heart is breaking as he knows that the trip that his son is taking leads him to heartbreak and pain, misery, and ultimately bondage. Notice the next phrase in regards to the prodigal, and took his journey. Notice that the journey of the prodigal was a personal one. We see his journey. It wasn't God's journey. It wasn't the journey that his father raised him to take. Was it the journey of good raising? It was his journey. The prodigal was going his own way. The prodigal was doing his own thing. And he would soon eat the fruit of his own way. And the same can be said today. When you take a journey that is away from God, it's your journey. When you take a journey away from the people of God, that's your journey. When you take a journey away from God's house, that is your journey. And any journey that is in and of itself rooted in rebellion, rooted in having a far country in mind. And any journey that the far country is leading you and directing you and motivating you, propelling you further and further away from God, is destined to lead you to one place. And that's bottom. It's a place of recognition of who you are and who you've become. It's a humbling place. We're going to look at the rest of this tonight, but it's a humbling place. It's an attention getter. It's a place that has a person looking up now to God. When you're at bottom, you got nowhere else to look. And in the story of this prodigal, it has him looking back to the father's house. But we see a wasting of substance. We see at the end of verse 12, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. The word wasted means desolated, ruined, destroyed. Then the word substance means the essential part, the main or material thing. And then the word riotous means luxurious, wanton, or licentious in festive indulgences. So the prodigal took off and wasted his substance with riotous living. So he desolated the essential part of himself, the main thing of himself, the inner self. He'd done this by spending all that he had on a luxurious, essentially partying lifestyle and basically living life without reserve. Notice what the prodigal son asked for in verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. But what does verse 13 say that the prodigal wasted? He wasted his substance, which tells me that God puts a higher emphasis on the wasting of his substance than the wasting of his inheritance. Substance, again, is defined as the essential part, the main or material part. If you read the other definitions of substance, it refers to the inside man, the inner self, the inner part. So the prodigal wasted himself. Is there something to be said of blowing money? Absolutely. But in this passage, I believe God has placed at a greater emphasis the wasting of himself rather than the wasting of his goods. God always places a higher emphasis on things to come rather than the things that will pass away and one day no longer be relevant. The moral of this story, the bigger emphasis here, is that the prodigal wasted himself with the life that he was living. He needed to arrive at a place of recognition that he's wasting away his life. Wasting away one's usefulness for God. I dare say what breaks a parent's heart the most over a child out in the far country, and what breaks a pastor's heart when believers are spiritually out in a far country, is not so much that they blow money, it's not so much that they're untrustworthy or not dependable, or they spend endless amounts of money on tobacco and drugs and drinking and partying out in the far country, but it's that they don't recognize anymore who the person has become. They don't look the same. They don't act the same. They don't speak the same. They carry themselves differently. You don't even recognize them anymore. You ask yourself, who is this person that I used to know? That's because out in a far country, an individual will waste their substance. To the teenagers and the adults in here also, you start dabbling in alcohol, you'll waste your substance. There was things I was looking at long before I left the house that I had already decided before I even left the house that I wanted to try, that I wanted to do. I'm not so naive. Even it's a good thing we take our young people to these youth conferences, youth rallies, whatever they call them, and youth camp. Because the devil's sowing seed, and we need the Lord to come through and purge that bad seed. There's stuff without a doubt in my mind. Even in here tonight, there are people looking at stuff they ain't got no business looking at. Thinking about going and trying something they ain't got no business trying. You get out all into partying and you're going to waste your substance. Get into drugs, you'll waste your substance. Go down the path of immorality, you're going to waste your substance. Go in any direction that's away from God and you're going to waste your substance. Yeah. And you can waste your substance as much in a church pew as you can out in the world. If your heart isn't right, because if your heart isn't right, you aren't right, even if you look right. When I walked back into God's house in 2011, as much of a mess as I was, I knew who was in church but was out wasting their substance. I still know. But I knew who was destroying themselves. So the prodigal wasted all of his substance. We see that in verses 14 through 16, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When you run from God, you can't expect blessings. When you run from God, you can expect consequences. So what you have here in the case of the prodigal is a mud pit for the swine. We've raised hogs. I don't know anybody else in here raised hogs or been around hogs being raised. You get that deeply acquainted with them throughout the process to leading up to the point that they're on your table. You think about it a little bit. Just a little bit, though. Just a little bit. I was thinking as I was working on this some this morning, I was thinking about pork tenderloin wrapped in bacon and smoked. But hogs, they're smelly. I don't even like to go near them. Smelly. All the feces getting broken down with the water and stuff, and they lay in it. It gets so hot, they just go lay in it. So what is this a portrait of? If you go the way of the prodigal, you'll find yourself in a place that God never intended for you to be. It was never God's plan for this son to have a pigsty for a home. And by the way, I've seen some homes that people have traded. I've had men in addiction program. Had businesses. Nice trucks, nice home, nice family. And I'm visiting them after they lost it all, in a pay-by-the-week motel with vodka bottles empty all over the place. It was never God's intention for them to end up there. We don't understand sometimes what we're messing with when we start messing with stuff that God has out of bounds for a reason. You go messing around with stuff that's out of bounds that God has out of bounds for a reason. You're going to find out real quick why it's out of bounds. It was never God's plan for this son to have a pigsty for a home, to eat after the hogs. This son went from a nice home, nice family, food and help to spare. And he traded it all through riotous living. And this is where the prodigal son has found himself. Some of you have been at rock bottom in a far country. I've been at rock bottom in a far country. Maybe not a literal pigsty, but a figurative pigsty. And I can tell you today that I'm thankful for the mud. And I believe this one-time prodigal would tell you the same thing. And I tell you this morning, when you run away from God, you'll find yourself in the mud every time. And I'm thankful for it, because without it, I would have never went home. Sometimes I worry about all these ministries, and I'm not saying people don't need certain things, but sometimes I worry about a lot of these ministries that are enabling people to stay where they are. God might just have you without money for a reason. People need to quit giving it to you. God might just have you hungry for a reason. You don't need three meals a day. Nobody does. We can go a while without eating at all. I could live off what I got for a little bit. Reminds me of that doctor, I ain't going to say all that, but he said they'd eat the next couple of years in advance. But you know what, people? We don't need all that we got. We don't. And you know what? I worry that sometimes we're enabling people to stay where they are. They're at rock bottom in a far country because of their actions. And you know what? I would rather, in case of the prodigal son, let's look at it this way. I'm living in a pigsty because of the choices that I've made, but somebody keeps bringing me a sandwich. Is it the better thing to get out of the pigsty? Yeah, you might have a sandwich while you're in the pigsty, but wasn't the better thing to be? I don't want to eat in a pig pen. Last thing I'm thinking about is eating in a pig pen. It's the last thing I'm thinking about. But yet you'll have people at rock bottom in a far country, in a pigsty, so to speak, and people bringing things to them. It's almost like they want to keep them there. That's an interesting thing. That's the way the world works, and that's the way the devil works. We see that a lot, even with a lot of what we have going, and that's the world's help, by the way. That's the world's help. The devil's got it set up that way, and the devil uses government to keep people that way. He wants to keep them in the pigsty. He wants to keep them not thinking for themselves. He wants to keep them high on stuff so they're not thinking right. So they're not focusing on life and how they can get out of the pigsty. And I have crossed paths with people in addiction ministry, and they've got mad at me because I don't enable people. I used to, ignorantly. Ignorant. I've done so in ignorance. Enable people. And I'm glad that the truth found this prodigal son. Or he'd have never got right with Dad. He'd have never got right with God. I'm glad he also didn't find a group of people that were bitter, because they also came from a godly home. Church and school that had standards for righteous living and holiness and taught separation. It's sad when children who were given everything of spiritual value turn their backs on all that was given to them and then find themselves in a far country. This prodigal was dirty, reeking of pig slop and feces and a stained heart with mud. And on that note, the worst thing you can do is pull out the water hose and spray the mud off of prodigals every time God sends mud their way. Here comes pastor, and I've seen pastors do it, and I've been guilty of it till the Lord taught me. Here comes grandma, or here comes grandpa. Here comes mama, here comes daddy. I'm here to save you from that mean God who's judging your lifestyle and sending things your way to get your attention. We got to stop that. It's the mud that'll get them running back to God. we have to stop minimizing what God is trying to do by softening their consequences. How many times do we do it? We've seen this a lot at times in our homes too. We're not going there just quite yet. Sometimes daddy needs to bring the consequences that the kids need and mom needs to quit interfering. Trying to soften the consequences. Sometimes kids need daddy and all of him. But we see a softening of the consequences even today. People that need to go to prison for life, we see a softening of consequences. Some people, and I don't know where everybody is on this, some people that probably should get the death penalty aren't. And people who should be put away for life aren't. And some people who shouldn't get out again are. It's just a softening of the consequences all throughout society and all throughout culture. And it's to the point that people aren't afraid of consequences anymore. They're not afraid of it. Not afraid of jail. Not afraid of prison. We need to make them a place that people don't want to go to anymore. And tragically, when it comes to parents and spiritual leaders, according to the world, you're a good leader according to the flesh when you enable people. But not a spiritual leader when you do that. Yes, the world will say you're a good parent, you're a good pastor if that's you. They won't use the word enable, but they'll praise you as those you seek to help blow money on alcohol and drugs and waste money on anything and everything else, and you pay their bills for them. They'll give you a round of applause. But I tell you today, God uses hard times to teach prodigals a lesson. And I encourage you to leave people alone when God's dealing with them. If you ever want them back, if you ever want them to start living right, acting right, we got to stay out of God's business, and they're His before they're ours. If it weren't for Him, they wouldn't be ours in any kind of way. And I've had to learn this in the pastorate. If someone comes to me for help and I believe the judgment of God lies upon them, I won't help them. I'll tell them what they can do. And it starts with repentance. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh unto you. But instead of drawing nigh to God, they want to draw nigh to people to get from people what they got from God as a result of drawing nigh to God. And as a result, we end up taking God's blessing from us for living right and giving it to those who aren't. I won't help them. I'll ruin what God is trying to do to teach them a lesson. God's making life hard on them to wake them up. Can't rock them back to sleep. God's trying to get their attention by using things that don't help. We pray at times, people do. We pray, God, wake them up. Then when He tries, we intervene and save them. God, get their attention. We pray. And when He tries, we intervene and save them. God, bring them back to you. When He tries, we counter God by running to the rescue. And I get it's hard to watch people struggle. It's hard to watch people that you love struggle. But if they're struggling as a result of their sin and its consequences that are upon them, it is that struggle that's going to help them. We spiritual leaders need to quit interfering with what God is doing. Good intentions and all. And let God run His course in the life of an individual. And if we do, we might start seeing more prodigals come home. And also, just because you may sit here today don't mean that you may not be in a far country in your heart. This morning we've looked at the prodigal, and tonight we're going to look at what every prodigal needs. So if this morning's been a help to you in any kind of way, I trust tonight will too. I invite you to be back tonight as we look at what every prodigal needs. Because every prodigal does need something. And it's two things. I'll give it to you, but obviously it'll take more time to break it down. But one is a family to come back to and a community to come back to, which is the church. And every prodigal needs that. They need a family to come back. I feel bad for people whose parents have said, I disown you. Just heard here just this last week somebody who said to me that their dad told them, you're dead to me. That's not the father in this story. That's not the heart and the attitude of the father in this story. And the father is a portrait of Christ in this story. So we could take it even deeper. Not only is it not the heart of this father in the story, it's not the heart of Jesus in this story. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for your word.